becoming one. There's certainly more to it than putting a fork together. But what a beautiful story of marriage. I've heard that that story is true. Of course, I read that on the internet. But it is true that when a couple gets married, they become one. And that has nothing to do with kids. It's not, a couple does not become one when they have children. A couple becomes one. You may be a couple in here who has never had children. You are still one. I want to wrap up really a month-long series on the family, and I'm going to do this in the next 10 minutes. Just kind of wrap everything up. Last week, I preached to you the process of what the individual must do out of Ephesians chapter 5 to make themselves ready for marriage. And then when we get down to verse 21, we find what the couple does in the process of two becoming one. After you say, I do, what is it that you need to do? And I'd like for you to bow your heads and let's pray and ask God's blessing on this message. Lord, thank you so much for the privilege we have to be in your house today. I thank you so much for the ministry of this wonderful family that's come to us today. And I pray, Lord, that their songs will penetrate our hearts and make us ready for what we have to say from your word. Thank you for the ministry of the word. Thank you for giving us the truth on how to live our lives the best way possible. In Jesus' name, amen. When we come together and begin the process of becoming one, there are just four simple things that I'd like to give you in the next 8 minutes. It shouldn't take us long to say these things, but it takes a lifetime to live them out. And when we look at verse 21, it says this, "And further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." For wives, this means, verse 22, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives. You see, the idea of submission is that both male and female have a responsibility to submit to one another. We would misuse the scripture to say, women, submit to your husbands, and guys, you do whatever you want. That's not the case. For wives, it means to submit to your husbands. Why is that? Because in the fall, a part of what happened to the woman is she desired to rule over her husband, and he was to rule over her. And so her humility is submitting to her husband. For the husbands, it means love your wives. Why is that? Because men tend to love other things other than their wives. They love their jobs. They love themselves. They love their toys. They love their things. They love their careers. They sometimes love other women. So the fallenness of woman, she needs to submit herself to her husband. And the fallenness of man, he needs to submit himself to his wife by loving her. So when we talk about two becoming one, the first thing we have to say is we both need to find our place. We need to humble ourselves as Christ did, Philippians chapter 2. He humbled himself and took upon him the form of a servant. Husbands, you cannot make your wives submit to you, and wives, you cannot make your husbands submit to you in love. Truth is, all of us must do this for ourselves. You must submit yourself. You must humble yourself. It becomes abusive when one tries to make the other submit. That's abuse, and we arrest people for that. But in humility, we humble ourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. I give up loving other things, and I love my wife. my wife, and I don't know why, how immensely amazing this is. My wife submits herself to me and trusts my leadership, and for 30 some years has gone with me everywhere I've gone. I move, but she always finds me. And for any human to do that for another human is so Christ-like. Why would any person give up their life to follow someone like me? Because she reveres Christ. That's why. And so each of us have to find our own place. Secondly, we have to fuel our passion. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. This is not just husbands love your wives, but it's also wives love your husbands. Why do we know that? Because the Bible says is that we love Christ because he first loved us. Men are supposed to be the ones that initiate love, and I'm not talking about sex there, not excluding it, but not for the most part talking about that. We initiate love and women respond, and that's how Christ loved the church. You know that I taught you a few weeks ago there are four kinds of love that we can love our wives with. The agape love, the unconditional love. Christ demonstrated that for us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. We unconditionally love each other. We never leave. The storge love. The affection. I love Deuteronomy 32:10. He found him in a desert land, in the wasteland, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Did you know that the apple of the eye is a biblical term? Let me describe that for you. The Hebrew word for apple in this case is little man. You say, well, how do you get apple and little man? It literally can be translated, he kept you like the little man that's in his eye. What this means is that God looks at us so closely that we can see our reflection in his eyes. We see the little man in there. That little man is us. He is so affectionate toward us that he gets so close to us that we become the little man in his eye. And then philia, the friendship. John 15:15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Fuel your passion, eros, not in the Bible, but certainly the Bible speaks about taking care of the sexual needs of one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says, now regarding the question you ask in your letter, yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relations, but because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Notice that happens between husband and wife and nobody else. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan wouldn't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. You're like, is that in the Bible? 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Fuel your passion for each other. Become one. Thirdly, focus on purity. The husband in Christ does this for the church. He wants to make her clean, holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. I love this word picture of what we do for each other in marriage. We protect each other from spots and we protect each other from wrinkles. Spots are what splashes on our marriage from the outside. Busy schedules splash on us. Work splashes on us. Bills splash on us. Other people splash on us. And we're to scrub each other and keep each other clean, protect each other, just as Christ does His church. That spot. And then without wrinkle, it's what happens to us when we're anxious on the inside. My daughter and I tease about this. We have the Kraft brow here. See it? You know why that outward thing is there? Because of what's going on inwardly. That wrinkle is there because of something you can't see. Wrinkles show up because of anxiety, worry, fret, all of those things. And what do? We protect one another from that. It is true, absolutely true, true. Those of you men who have women who have gotten more beautiful as they get older, that's not a reflection on her, Mary Kay. That's a reflection on how well you've loved her. Because you've protected her from wrinkle. You've protected her from worry. She never needs to worry about you leaving or forsaking you. She never needs to worry about you being kindly affectioned toward her. She never needs to worry about you not being a friend to her. She never needs to worry about you having sex with somebody else. And there's no anxiety and there's no wrinkles because you protect the marriage from the spots. You protect each other from that. It takes work. And you cleanse each other by God's word. Lastly, follow the pattern. This is a great ministry, mystery, but it is an illustration of the way that Christ and the church are one. When all else fails, and you go through all of your psychologies, and you've read every book that Oprah has, every book that Dr. Phil has, and you've watched Jerry Springer three times and then decided to turn the channel because he doesn't have anything good to say. When you put away even Dennis and Barbara Rainey and all of those people that are very good and very biblical and worth following, when you don't have access to a book to know what to do in your marriage, when you don't even have access to a Bible to know what to do in that moment, ask yourself this question, men. What would Christ do for the church right now? Because our marriages, this is a great mystery, but our marriages are an illustration of how Christ loves the church. So men, when you wonder what to do in that moment, how to handle that situation, ask yourselves, what would Christ do for His church? Women, when you're in that situation and you don't know what to do, ask yourselves, what would the church do? What should the church do in this situation toward Christ? Follow the pattern. So strong this connection is, Colson writes about Calvin. So highly does the Lord esteem the communion of His church, Calvin wrote, that He considers everyone a traitor and an apostate from religion who perversely withdraws himself from any Christian society which preserves the true ministry of the Word and sacraments. You say, well, that's talking about the church. Here's the point. The church and the family are so closely linked. You can be a traitor to the one by leaving the other. The church and the family are so closely linked that you can be a traitor to the one by leaving the other. Why is that? Because our marriages are to be an illustration of how Christ loves the church. I know for sure that Jesus, for the church, would go to McDonald's to get some fries, go to another place to get a Coke, go to another place to get ice cream, go to another place for a dessert, like I do my wife. Why? Because he loves her. That's the end of the story. He loves her. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Lord, thank you so much for today. I thank you for the month that we've been able to spend together studying a family. What's love got to do with it? What are the four loves? How do they work in our lives? What do we do before we say, I do? Now then, how do two become one? Lord, I am so passionate about our families here because families in the church are so closely linked. The church is a family. The church is made up of families. And when an individual family suffers or divorces or fights or separates or is unfaithful or whatever, it affects the church. When one hurts, the other hurts. So, Lord, I know that the way to a healthy church is through healthy families. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that as we spend just a moment in prayer, I pray that you'll just speak to our hearts now as the music comes up and as we think about what our response to you would be. Please speak to our hearts. Maybe we need to, as couples, just grab a hand and say a prayer where we're at. Whatever that is, I pray that this moment will be a moment of commitment between husbands and wives, between families. In Jesus' name. Stand with me with your heads bowed and eyes closed. No one's looking around. Take this moment to grab the hand of your loved one, or if you're not with them today, pray for them. But why don't you pray together? Maybe take just a little bit of a look into each other's eyes and say, I'm still committed to you. I love you. We fit together. God placed us together. Husbands, say to your wives, I will protect you from spot and wrinkle. Wives, say to your husbands, I will respect you because I respect Christ. I will follow you as you follow Christ. Take just a moment to be together. Look up here, if you will. I want to commend those of you who just love each other, stick together. You just say, we're going to make it together. For those of you that have had some heartache, we love you. We support you. We don't think that you're second-class people. Not that at all. We desire God's best for you always. I want you to know that. But I pray that even individually, all of our lives reflect what we should be before Christ. When we go into the community, someone needs to say, that person fleshes out Jesus. They live out the Lord. That's our desire for all of us, because when we are the right individuals, we make the right family, and we make the right church, and we make the right community, and we make the right nation. Change the nation, change yourself. That's the message of God's Word.